All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton here with you to dig a little deeper into the second half of 1 John chapter 3. As I said last week, this week has a lot to do about the brotherly love that we are to have for one another. This is how we are showing ourselves as children of God by loving one another. So we're going to look at that this week from 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 24. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. All right, there's our text for this week. A lot of it we hear often, especially as we go through 1 John, through the season of Easter, in the three-year cycle. But here we have again the multiple layers and facets that come with brotherly love and being part of the family of Christ in the church. And John keeps repeating himself that the message that he is giving is the same message that was there in the beginning, that we should love one another. Because brotherly love is the very essence and substance of the Christian life. It is not all theoretical and, okay, I've got to pack in all this knowledge and try to get all of this from the Bible in my head. No. It's great to have it in your head, but you need it flowing out of your heart as well. That is where you see the Christian life. As John goes on in verse 12, we should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. Venerable Bede talks about John's masterful way of explaining why Cain was of the evil one. Wherever there is jealousy, brotherly love is impossible. Rather, the sin of the evil one, that is the devil, is in man's heart, because the devil also rejected man because of his envy. The works of righteous Abel are works of love, whereas the works of Cain amount to hatred for his brother. It is only to be expected that someone who hates his brother will envy his works. We go back to the Sermon on the Mount again, where Jesus says, you know, it's not even that you hate your brother or you call him a fool. It is that you should love your brother. Because a lack of love just breeds envy and jealousy and hatred. And this is what happened with Cain. He was jealous that Abel's offering was accepted and his was not. And because we love one another, John says, do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. We live in a world of death. It is a continuous cycle of death again and again and again. But we who cling to life, not just life in this world, not just the pro-life movement, but life everlasting with Christ is what we ultimately cling to. It's the basis for everything else that we talk about with life issues. Don't be surprised if the world hates you, because the world's not looking at what's coming up later on. The world is looking at what can I get right here, right now, and how can I get more of it than my neighbor does. That's the jealousy and the envy and the hatred once again. John says in verse 15, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Augustine says for this verse, whoever hates is a murderer. You may not have prepared any poison or committed a crime. You have only hated, and in doing so, you have killed yourself first of all. I find this a very striking moment from Augustine, that you've not only hated, but you have killed yourself first. You have brought death upon yourself first in desiring the death of your brother and the hatred of your brother. Dr. Kretzmann says, this is one of the strongest passages in scriptures to throw the responsibility also for sins of desire of the heart on the sinner. And all such men, all that are guilty of hatred or the lack of proper love for their brother, have not the eternal life, that spiritual life which is begun in conversion and lasts beyond the grave abiding in them. They belong in the kingdom of the devil, the murderer from the beginning. That is the terrible and fearful lot of those who do not love their brethren. This is why even in Dante's Inferno, at the bottom of hell, trapped in the ice, you have Cain, you have Judas Iscariot, and you have Brutus. All of them trapped in a solid block of ice in the bottom of the fiery pits of hell with Satan. Because this is the issue. Their hatred for their brother, whether it's Cain's brother Abel, Judas betraying Jesus, or Brutus betraying Julius Caesar, who was very much like a brother to him. The same thing happens here. We are responsible for even our sins of desire. The sins that don't even get anywhere further than our heart and our mind. That is the whole point of the 9th and 10th commandments on coveting. Coveting is all an internal thing. You can't externally covet. So we're also responsible for that as well. Just as Jesus points out in the Sermon on the Mount that it is not just the physical act of doing these things. It is the thoughts and the motives and the intentions behind it that are also sinful. And 1 John 3 here is one of the strongest passages that puts it all right back on the center. So now as we go from that harshness, we move to verse 16. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. This is the thing. Jesus shows us what love is. Love is not just a warm, fuzzy feeling. It is doing what is necessary for your brother in need. It is doing, as verse 17, John points out, if you have the world's goods and you see your brother in need and yet you refuse to help him, how can God's love abide in you? How can you say you are a child of the same Heavenly Father who sent his Son to lay down his life for all of us if you refuse to even give of your own gifts to those who are in need? Now granted, yes, there are many people who go along and try to use the idea of collecting from benevolence funds and panhandling on the corners of major cities and interstates and like that, that are charlatans. That does happen. And yes, while we must be willing to, we must also understand and discern what it is that is going on here, what it is that this person actually needs. Hilary of Arles says in the 5th century, actions speak louder than words. This phrase is normally attributed to John Pym at the time of the English Civil War, about 1628. But Hilary says the very same thing about these verses 1,200 years earlier. So, I mean, we have this coming about again and again. Actions speak louder than words. Love is an action, as John wants us to know. We continue on with the rest of the verses for this week. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence with God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son Jesus Christ and love one another, just as He has commanded us. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given to us. This is another great moment that John has here. In this whole thing of brotherly love, whenever our heart condemns us, whenever our sin comes back to our remembrance, we simply have to remember God is greater than our hearts. He knows our sorrow over that sin, whether it is one that is from the past that gets brought back up in our memories, or if it's something that we have thought about doing that we know we shouldn't and we sorrow over it. God knows that. And God forgives us because He allows us to have the confidence to stand before Him and still call Him our Father. Not say, Lord God, omnipotent ruler of the universe and somebody who may or may not like me at the moment. No. The prayer starts off, our Father who art in heaven. We have that confidence. We have that boldness because we, first of all, believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and therefore have His love abiding in us. We need to make sure that we understand that when we love one another according to faith, that it is all in the name of Jesus. For it is by His grace that we are able to love, that we have even the desire to love our neighbors. And then it is not just we believe in the person of Jesus, we believe in the name of Jesus. The name that includes the will and the glory and the honor of the one who bears it. As we believe in the name of Jesus, which means Yahweh saves. Therefore, we also look to Jesus, but also look back to our baptism, where we were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There is no greater name for you to bear than the name of the Holy Trinity. And this is what it means for God to abide in you, that you have been marked as one redeemed by Christ the Crucified. You have made your heart a throne for God. And so, yes, you stumble, you fall, but you continue on in the forgiveness that God gives, the Spirit working in you to do the good works, to love your neighbor, to love yourself. Ecumenius closes us off today asking the question, what does John mean by this? About this entire section here, especially verses 16 to 24. It is exactly what Jesus said. Whatever you want others to do to you, do the same to them. The golden rule from Matthew 7:12. Therefore, if we want our neighbors to be well disposed toward us, we must equally be well disposed toward them. If this is God's command, how much more ought we to obey it if we dwell in Him and are sealed by Him? He cannot deny Himself, and it must surely be the case that wherever He has asked us to do, He has already done or become in Himself. Therefore, if we do what He says, we know that He will give us whatever we ask, and that His gift will be sealed in us. We go back to having that confidence that our heart cannot condemn us more than God has forgiven us. That if God is in us, nothing can condemn us Paul even says that in Romans. But we also find ourselves very much in that struggle of condemning ourselves. And yet, all we have to do, and it seems very simplistic to say it, all we have to do is remember our baptism, is to remember that we have been marked with God's name. We bear the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within us, empowering us to overcome the condemnations of our own sinful heart so that we might love one another. The Spirit bringing that love strengthens us, equips us to wrestle with everything around us so that we might truly show that God abides in us. That's where we're going to stop for this week. Next week, we get into chapter 4 of 1 John. But until then, this is Pastor Doug thanking you for being here. Continue to dig deeper into the scriptures, not just as we are going through here, but go back to wrestlingwiththeology.org, where you can find the archives for our study on Exodus, Revelation, the Psalms, and Colossians and Philemon, where you can go back and continue to be built up, continue to be equipped to wrestle with the theology around you today and always. Amen.